You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, folks. It's DJ, and welcome back to another week of Bigfoot Live Radio. Well, we got a show for you tonight. We're on the road. We're up here in East Glacier, Montana. Do we have some things going on up here, folks? I'm not going to ruin it because they're about 20 to 25 minutes after the hour. The Godfather Bigfoot, my father, is going to be coming back on, and he's going to be telling you what's been going on around here. Now, let's get off to our first guest, because we only got a little time for each of you guys. I'm going to bring in Audrey from Kentucky. Audrey, you with us this evening, darling?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you there. How are you, Audrey?
I'm doing pretty good.
Outstanding. So, little birdie tells you there's some things just recently happening down there in Kentucky, huh?
Oh, yeah, they're getting rowdy the last week and a half. They're getting rowdy, whatever. Really wild.
Well, tell us what's going on. What's happening? What do you mean by rowdy?
Well, two nights ago, something was pushing on my window. My window and my bedroom are beds right next to each other. I could hear it pushing on the window. I said, well, I guess somebody's trying to come in my window. I looked up. My TV was on, but, you know, it was dark in the room except for the TV, and I seen two big hands, TJ, huge hands. They wasn't human. They was kind of like dark, you know. I screamed. I ain't going to lie. It scared the heck out of me. I was like, ah! Jumped up and ran. whatever it was trying to come in. And then, like, before that, like, the sirens are going off outside. All of a sudden, we've been having a lot of sirens going off. And I was outside sitting on the porch because it's been pretty nice, you know. I guess it was about 12 o'clock, and the sirens went by. And you could hear whatever it was in them woods screaming. It sounded like a high-pitched girl sound voice screaming. And you'd hear real loud, like maybe it was irritating their ears or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, you can hear them moving. Like a friend of mine was sitting out there like 4 days ago, and there was something on the side moving. And you could hear making that grumbling sound. He got so scared he left. I said, well, that's the thing, Sasquatch, right, George? I think he's a believer now.
What do you think is making them come out and hang around the property? I mean, we all know they're in full migration. I think they might have found a little place where they can just hang out and feel at home, because all that acreage you got behind your house there running up against the Salt River, I'm thinking that, well, they're just enjoying a little time off. What do you think?
I don't know, but also, I got a baby monitor out in my garage that's connected inside, and you can hear them. They walk around in the garage making that noise. That's not human. And I'm like, well, you're out there, and you sound really big, so I'm in here, and you can just stay out there. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Baby monitor out there now so you can actually hear them?
Oh, yeah, you can hear them. You can hear them. Yeah.
Are you recording?
I guess I should. I figured eventually we're going to catch one of them boys or girls, you know.
You know, Audrey came up with an idea, and I think we're going to have to get this done. We're going to build a big metal cage, probably one that's probably at least a ton, that's going to hang up in a certain tree, and we're going to bait underneath it. And hopefully when one of these creatures comes to eat the food we've talked about, it'll collapse down on top of it and stick into the ground. Maybe we can get one of the creatures. What do you think, Audrey?
I think we should have done caught it by now. I'm telling you, it's too active. And everybody, I'm like, come on out here. Y'all think I'm crazy, you know, my friends and relatives or whatever. And my friend, she was out there about, 3 weeks ago, and she said, what is that awful smell? Like, you know, the wet dog smell, really, this really bites you smell. And she got scared. She said, there is something in your yard. I'm gone. And my cousin came out, and she was just hanging. It was, like, almost dark. And Vicky was walking around. She said, you hear that? I said, it's just Sasquatch. Because I hear it, guys, I hear it so much. I mean, it's just like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the door. Y'all want to come to dinner or something?
Well,
it's that much out there.
After about 3 weeks ago when you were on the show, you finally come down to the conclusion that you've possibly got three of them on your property. And one of them was an amberish red. One was a kind of brownish black. What was the third color one? I forgot.
It was like I can't describe it. Let me see. Like a champagne. Does that make sense? Champagne color?
Yeah. So more of a lighter brown then.
Yeah, that. And it went 3 feet away from me. When that tree, when we put that bait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know where the tree is, right? And like about maybe 4 feet back in there, it was standing right there. And on the other side, there was two of them over there. And I could see them. And I mean, I was like, I'm dead. I was really that scared. I'm sorry. I would like to approach them, but they kind of scare me. You know, they're huge. One hit could kill you, you know. So I'm like, okay, I start talking to myself, you know. I'm putting some peanut butter out here.
Around after 10 or so?
Yeah, that's usually when they come in, yeah. It was only twice.
What have you been feeding them?
I put bread out and, like, chili. They like chili. Just berries, apples, you know, bananas, stuff like that.
Are they eating the chili?
Well, something's eating it. So I guess they like chili.
Maybe it's your recipe.
No, I hope so. It's pretty good, I think. Every once in a while, it'll get quiet for maybe a week and a half tops. And then it full blown for anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, and it'll calm down a little bit, maybe a day or two. It's like tracked like that. I've been watching it, you know. So like you said, there's pretty much there, and it's more than one. I hear the whole herd there.
Okay. And my radio guy just told me that I need to talk louder into the mic. Am I getting a good check? Can you hear me, Audrey?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, awesome. So let me recap. We've got the creatures coming up to your window. They're trying to get through your bedroom window, or they're just playing with you because they're putting their hands up on the window.
Okay, Danny.
Right.
You're feeding them chili, apples, and bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to think, because the weather hasn't changed. It's still not cool back there. It's actually still warm, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very warm.
And that's the reason why I think these creatures haven't really started moving in a full rate yet. They're still in here. We're getting fit.
They're there in the wintertime just as much as they are in the summertime.
Are they?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell them. They're there all the time. They'll stop maybe a week and a half, then it'll go around. It goes like it all year round. And like I said, it's been going on for over 4 years, but this is a new herd in the last 8 months. It's just ridiculous. It's scary. I mean, they're not hurting me, but it's just, you know, you get that close to one, you're going to get scared. I don't care who you are.
Can we keep going?
You're their friend, Audrey, and they know you're not going to harm them. They think of you as somebody that they care about. So they're going to hang around. They're going to be good. They've stopped scaring you, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm getting a little better with it. But when he came up on that window and I seen his hand, I just jumped, you know. I was like, ah!
Maybe he was just feeling the warmth inside the house, you know, because the windows do get hot. Maybe he was just cold and he was feeling some of the warmth.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's pretty warm now. It's been warm. It's been warm here for the last week.
Wow.
70 degrees at night. Yeah, right now it's warm. It was like 80.
We might have to make a little special trip down. And from our trip, from seeing Kevin and them, which will be there next week, folks, up in Pennsylvania in Cambridge Springs, we'll probably have to do a little stop-by. Maybe we'll do an overnight by your area just to see what's going on. And I hope we don't scare them away. What do you think?
No, I don't think they scare too easy. I figured, you know, I went out there and made noises like to scare them off, too, years ago. It don't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. But like I said, guys, for a long time, I thought I was cuckoo with this, you know?
We know you're not cuckoo.
That makes me feel better, believe me.
Has your daughter seen any of the creatures that live next to you? Has she said anything lately?
Well, when she moved in a couple of years back, she heard something outside of her house that scared her real good. But she's got a thing that she puts like apples and stuff out there. It's worth for dirt. It makes dirt, you know. You can put all your vegetables out there and let it sit and you put it for soil, you know. And she's just the type that even if she's seen it, she wouldn't admit it. She just don't want to be a believer. She just don't. But she's told me, I hear really weird noises, Mom. I said, well, when it comes up, shake your hand. You'll believe me then.
There you go. Audrey, I want to thank you once again for coming on, you know, every couple of weeks and letting us know what's happening on your property. And just like I said, we'll probably end up doing a stop by, do it overnight, set up some cameras, or maybe we'll just all sit out and we'll listen and maybe they'll come up and see us. What do you think?
They probably will.
Outstanding. Audrey, you can just mute yourself out, listen to the rest of the show. We're going to move on to our next guest up in Cambridge Springs, Pennsylvania, and we're going to be talking to Kevin and Amber and Robin out there. How are you guys this evening?
I'm pretty good. How about you? I can hear you real good.
Awesome. This is Robin?
Yes.
How are you, Robin? You know, I'm sitting here and I'm contemplating thinking about telling the people the story in the last email that you sent me from your daughter sent me. Did you know she sent me that email?
Yes. It happened last night about 7:30.
Oh, okay. So I thought that was the night before. Well,
no,
why don't you go ahead and tell our guests and everybody around the world what happened?
My husband, he likes to go out and spend time in the back near the woods. So he just told me, because it was supposed to rain here, we did get a lot of rain. He said, if I'm not in my cabin, I'll be out setting up my teepee. And this is way back in the woods. So about 7:30, it was pitch black out. And I walked out into one of the paddocks where we usually keep the horses, but the horses were all in the barn. And I had the flashlight with me, And as I walked up to my husband's cabin, which he built himself, I heard a knock. And so I kind of just stood there. I was amazed. I went into the cabin to look for my husband, which I was just being in the dark by myself really makes me frightened. So I looked in the cabin to see if he was in there. He wasn't in there. And as I was leaving the cabin, I heard a second knock. The knocks were not that far away from me. So as I kept hollering out for my husband, finally Kevin answered me. So as I was shining the flashlight where my husband might possibly be, and as I went around the cabin, and as I was shining it in the pasture where my horses usually go, I saw it, the whole backside of it going into the woods, moving very quickly into the woods. And I
oh my goodness.
So frightened. I was so scared. I was like, my eyes are not playing tricks on me. But I couldn't see the head. All I know is from the shoulders down, it was a brownish black. And I know it wasn't a bear, and it was not a deer. It moved very quickly, very heavy. Saw the whole back of it. And then it was gone. And then when my husband came out, I was like, are you all right, all right? And I said, no. There's something over there. And there was something over there. But I don't know if it was watching my husband. My husband had gone out into the woods, put his teepee out there. And I'm not sure if it had watched him or knew he was out there. But I know the knocks were not that far off. I could hear them as plain as day. And then when I was shining the flashlight, I just got it just right as it was going right into the woods. And
how big would you say it was? What do you think? How far
it was,
away were you?
It was big. It was big. And I know bears walk on all fours. This was just comical that I caught it just right with the flashlight. Because I was shining, looking for Kevin, and boom, there it was. Right there. So I did the whole back. It was tall and dark. And then, I mean, because it was dark out, and the light that I had, I didn't get the whole. I couldn't see its face. Could see just from the shoulders down to where, you know, where the grass was. And then
why
that was
you say
it.
The shoulders were?
Wide. That's why I knew it wasn't a bear and it wasn't a deer. I mean, I still
get that. Were they 4 feet? Were they 3 feet? Were they as big as your husband's shoulders?
I think they were wider than my husband. Because, I mean, it moved so quickly, but when I had the flashlight on it, I could see of it, and then it disappeared into the woods. But
once
the shoulders were wide, they were wide across, wide. I mean, they were wide.
Once you realized it wasn't Kevin, what did you do? Did you call for him? Did he run over to help you?
I was calling for Kevin, and Kevin had gone way beyond where he was with Joe, our landlord, to talk to him. His son and him brought the tractor out because I had lost one of my mares yesterday. So while he was out there, he couldn't hear me, but he said
I got to stop you. Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you lose another mare, another horse?
Yeah, I lost a mare. It was on my landlord's property, so they were taking care of it for us. And
now,
how did
the horse die?
Of old age.
Was it mysterious like the other one?
Yeah, of old age,
so this wasn't the creature. Okay.
No. The one I lost yesterday was from, it was just really old. But he had, when I couldn't hear him or see him, and I just don't like being in the woods. by myself in the dark. And, you know, I just had the flashlight. And when I heard the knock, the first knock, it just took me by surprise. Because it was, I don't know if it must have heard me hollering for Kevin. And then I heard the knock, and then when I stopped and was quiet, leaving the cabin, then that's when I heard the second knock. But it was the back of it. I could not see the head. All I could see were the shoulders down. And it was
a dark
black as brown.
Did you and Kevin go out today in the daytime and go over and see if there was any footprints or maybe hair that came off it in the trees or anything like that?
No, I didn't have a chance to today, but I plan on doing it tomorrow.
Are you nervous? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
I mean, I've been out there before with my husband and my daughter when we were out looking for my horses, and my daughter saw something as well. It was standing by the fence line. Now the fence line comes up to like our hips. I'm 5'6". My daughter is a little shorter than I am, but the fence line that my landlord has comes up to about our hips. Now this was standing that my daughter saw between two trees, and because we were out looking for my my horses one night, and we couldn't find them. And then once my daughter found went to where it was, then the horse wasn't there.
Wow. You know, I cannot wait to get up there. You know, we're coming soon. So you folks know, we're moving up out of Montana. If nothing's happening here and we can't get into these caves, which we're working on, we're going to be coming up to Pennsylvania, and we're going to go help the Kevin, Amber, and Robin, and we're going to figure out and hopefully try to capture this creature and relocate it from their farm to somewhere where it can actually live. So, Robin, you guys get yourself ready, because we're going to be out in the woods looking. Well, not you, but me and your husband. Your husband.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 3-2-4. Welcome
Marco,
to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 3-2-4.
Hey, Marco.
Yeah, TJ.
I think I just lost or dropped out. What happened?
No, I don't know. Somebody was on Verizon Wireless making a call or something, and it was coming back, feeding back to us.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, Robin, you know we're coming out there. We'll be there by this Friday or so.
Yeah, Robin's already, she's off the line. So is Audrey.
Okay, so, folks. We're going to go to commercial break, and on the back end of that commercial, we're bringing my dad in to fill you guys in with what's going on. Thank you.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
Robin Morgan?
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, TG.
Hello, this is Robin.
Right. Hi, Robin.
Sorry, right, I got cut off.
No problem. I want to thank you again for being our guest. Just go ahead
thank
and boot yourself out. We'll see you this week. And folks, we're coming on with the godfather of Bigfoot himself. Dad, you out there?
I sure am, and good evening, everybody out there around the globe. We're up here in this wonderful blue sky treasure hunt state of Montana. Believe it or not, I'm going to give it a little history. The
Tom, you're coming in kind of weak.
What do you want me to do? Can you hear me now?
When you first started out, you were real good, but now how close are you to Mike? I don't know.
I'm ready to give it a big kiss, Bill. Is that
there? You go.
Enough?
There you go. In there.
Okay,
you're good.
All right. Fantastic. All right. So, like I was saying, ladies and gentlemen around the globe, I'm going to give you a little bit of history. And it blew me away when I got here and found out about it myself. They call Montana the blue sky country. They also call it the treasure state. That's right. But guess what? The entire state's population is only over a little bit more than 1 million people. Think about that, folks. 1 million people. Not much. Consider what San Francisco is. 5 million people. But guess what? It's perfect for what we're doing, because what we're doing is changing the world. What we're doing is changing this state. East Glacier, for those of you who know, West Glacier, the whole area up here, you're only about 36 miles, ladies and gentlemen, from the Canadian border. And guess what? It's a national park, and they treasure it. We get more visitors here per year, as a matter of fact, 13 times that amount, than what the population is for the entire state. Can you believe that? That's the reason why we're located at Bigfoot Alley, and these creatures are migrating from Canada down to the States and back through going the other way, except for those who find tranquility, ladies and gentlemen, those who find the serenity, females harboring a young, just giving birth, the older ones that can't travel any longer, due to the fact of these large caves and these channels of mountains that go north and south are indicative to where these things happen. But I want to, on a good note, before we go into our experiences up here on Bigfoot, I want to introduce our new partner, okay? He's a guy who's very humble. He's been here since 1971. Him and his wife, they come from the East Coast. He's from Connecticut. She's from my great state of New York. And we've clicked right from the beginning. Great personalities, folks. And they're do-gooders here in this town. And I've got to tell you something. He's got a beautiful 2,000-acre ranch. You think, you know, you thought that Ben Cartwright was big. Well, come up here and spend a day or two with my partner. He'll show you what the big sky country is all about. Has a bunch of horses, 5,000-square-foot home. It was like the Winchester House of Mystery when he gave us a tour. Hell of a guy. But needless to say, he had a vision, folks. And the vision that he had was to bring America, bring everyone around the globe to see his vision here at East Glacier Park. Let me tell you something, folks. They got stuff here, recreation going around the clock. 24/7, 365 days a year. The thing they don't have is accommodations to support the people, those 13 million people. He had the vision. And if it wasn't for his daughter, and I'll tell you what, she's like the apple of my eye. She's such a sweetheart. He runs one of his establishments. This man's an entrepreneur. He has multiple motels, hotels, call them what you want, restaurants, landowner. But then he had the vision to say, hey, just like the guy did in Las Vegas, okay? Remember the guy that built the Flamingo way, way back? And it was just that one-horse town, and he built that beautiful casino, hotel, spa, the Flamingo. That man, that's right, Bugsy Siegel, folks. Here's the Bugsy Siegel of Montana. And he just happened to hook up with yours truly, the godfather of Bigfoot. We hit it off right away. We've come to an agreement. We've got a 6 or 7 story Hilton. It's going to be a Hilton Garden, folks. It's going to be a hotel spa. It's going to have gourmet food. We're going to have a live theater. We're going to have a conference center. We're going to have our Bigfoot Museum here in excess of 7,000 square feet. We're going to be, listen to this, folks. We're going to get into contract. I think we are now with Sirius XM Radio to do a radio, live radio show on Sirius XM 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, which will be called the Bigfoot / Paranormal Network. And guess what? This destination will be a tourist destination now, just like with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody goes there. You know, what's there to go to in Cincinnati? Duh, nothing, okay? Well, guess what we got here now? We got the Glacier Park, man. Maybe you want to swim, you want a boat, you want a kayak, you want to hike, you want to ski, you want a zip line, you want a horseback. Do I go on anymore? Hello? All year long, winter, summer, spring. This is a 365-day-a-year, folks, destination property. And with the wisdom, with the hindsight, with the vision of my partner, Mr. Bill Stewart, the construction's going to start spring of next year. And we're going to have the best, biggest Bigfoot museum that you've never seen before in your life. We're going to be giving Bigfoot expeditions right from here. But guess what, folks? You don't have to rough it. You're going to have go out there in the brush, see it during the day because it's vast area out here. Trust me, vast. You can see for miles and miles and miles, okay? Not like all the other states. Remember, only a little over 1 million population here. So therefore, nobody wants to be here. Blue sky country, folks. The treasure state. But now there'll be an opportunity for everybody to come because of the vision of our new partners. Without any further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to him. He's going to tell you a little bit about his vision, how it all started, how it came about, how we met, and where we're going to go. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, my partner. Glad to have him. Part of our organization, BPII, and my newfound friend, Mr. Bill Stewart. Bill, here you go.
Hey, thanks. I have to say, you know, we had no idea. We've been working on this hotel project in East Glacier Park for a number of years, and we're finally bringing it to fruition, partly because of the interest that Tom has in this area having to do with Bigfoot sightings. And that's why I say we've lived here all our lives, and we really had no idea. But now what we're finding is that this area of Montana is probably one of the most remote areas in the whole country. Not just because there's so little population here, just because these are some spectacular mountains. These are probably the most spectacular mountains in the whole country. And the way these mountains are shaped is they kind of go off into foothills going west of here, but right along this is what they call the Rocky Mountain Front. The mountains all shoot right up into the air, and all there is just rocks and ice as far as you can see. there are so many mountain peaks in here, they don't even have them all named. This is an incredibly remote territory, and that's what attracts people here, is because what they've done in Glacier Park is they've filled it full of trails, and so it's just a super park for people to be able to get on a trail and just walk back into the mountains, and just the presence of these mountains is totally incredible. If all you do is sit on a rock and just feel the energy from these mountains, you'll never forget it. And people come back here year after year. It's just amazing. And so what we've done is there's very few accommodations along the east side of Glacier Park, but this is the side of the park everybody wants to see. This is where all the big mountains are. And so what we're doing is that we're going to give people some decent accommodations here. We're starting out with a Hilton Hotel, fabulous hotel, but yet it's a family-type hotel that everybody can afford and everybody can enjoy. That's what we're trying to make, and we're trying to have a hotel here for everybody. We're going to have a room for everybody. And I think one thing that Tom also didn't mention was the hotel itself. This is going to be a 6-story hotel, and every unit on the west side of the hotel is going to have a balcony. And these are very extra large rooms. In the evening, you'll be able to sit out on your balcony and look over some of the most beautiful and spectacular mountain scenery that you'll see any place in the United States. So it's pretty exciting. And what we didn't realize all along, though, is that all up through these mountains, there are Bigfoot creatures that are so secretive that hardly anybody ever sees them. But there are getting to be more and more sightings now that I think people are just becoming more aware of them. Either that or there's just getting to be more of these creatures. But this is pretty exciting. Now this is actually called Bigfoot Alley. There have been so many sightings along the east side of the Rocky Mountain front in Glacier Park. And so we're really excited to be teaming up with Tom Biscardi and his whole Bigfoot outfit. He's going to bring the whole outfit right here. And we're going to combine it with our hotel. We're giving him an entire floor of the hotel for a museum and an entertainment center. It's just going to be incredible. Anyway, I'm going to sign off for now. I'm inviting everybody to East Glacier Park, especially next summer. It's going to just be super. We'll see you here.
Thank you so much, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our newfound partner and brother and friend, Bill Stewart. He couldn't have said it any better. He really couldn't have. And I got to tell you this, okay? The people here are so gracious. You think that you left your home and just went to another rendition of a relative or a home because they make you feel so comfortable. And the thing he didn't talk about, nor did I, okay? So those of you who are a little fancy-free and like to let loose with the slot machines or a chance of gaming, guess what, folks? 12 miles down the road happens to be Browning. That's right. It's another Indian reservation that's been kind enough to open up a casino to break that boredom for those of you who don't like the wildlife, don't like the hiking, don't like the swimming, the horseback riding, the boating, et cetera, et cetera. So guess what? This is a cornucopia, folks, for everyone, no matter if you're 1 year old or 101. Come on down, have fun. We want to meet each and every one of you. And remember, we are going to be having our live broadcast here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. Well, I'm glad I got a chance to talk about that, Billy. We're going to talk now to my next guest, and he's been with us now for 10 years on this reservation, okay? His name is Wade Running Crane, and he has done so much for us, ladies and gentlemen. I was compelled to bring him on tonight. So, Billy, let's go to commercial. And ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of commercial, we're going to be talking to the man himself, Mr. Wade Running Crane, who has done so much for us, and we're going to tell you what we've got in store. All right, Bill.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're up here in beautiful Big Sky country, the treasure state itself, Montana. And you know why I'd be amiss? I forgot to tell everybody that we were in the Glacier Gazette right here, October 19th, in today's newspaper. They gave us a big, beautiful back section. You'll see a couple of elders of the tribe, plus a picture of my new partner, Bill, and myself. You might want to go online. It's Glacier Gazette newspaper in Browning, Montana. I'm sure they'll have it online. If not, we'll have it posted through Bill. And I got to tell you, I can't say it enough. These people, the hospitality, the warmth, it's been off the hook. But now let's get down to the nitty-gritty, folks, why we're here. It's Bigfoot, okay? I told you before, 10 years ago, Wade Running Crane, good friend. He became our liaison up here with the Blackfeet, along with some of the elders. Maynard, a dancing woman, kicking woman, I'm sorry. And then, of course, Bruce Schilt. So it's been, you know, they go on and on and on. They become elders of the tribe. So therefore, they've kind of condoned us. They've given us rite of passage here, along with Wade. We were on his family's property today that went on for thousands and thousands of miles because the lineage of this family goes on and on and on. And I'll tell you, he can talk about it. But the thing that we brought to fruition is we found the guy that shot one of the creatures. We have the picture that you can see the actual other creature cradling it in its arms. And then where they bring this creature off, we actually see the prints in the snow. Thank you to Leroy Blevins. And Leroy, if you're listening, you're such a valuable asset to us. We wouldn't know where to be without you. And thank you again for your services. But the thing I'm trying to tell you, we're kind of saying now, and you're going to hear it for the first time here with me on the Bigfoot Live Radio, folks. I've said it before that they buried their own. Well, guess what? They have their own burial ground up here. And we are this close to finding out which cave and how many bodies there are. All through this man, I'm going to give you the phone. He's going to tell you who he is, tell you who his family is. And I'll tell you what, he's one of my brothers and has been a brother to me for the last decade, the last 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wade Running Crane.
Hello, folks. My name is William Wade Running Crane. I've been working with Tom Biscardi for roughly 10 years. I got so many things to tell you, to share with everybody. We have Bigfoot here. There's groups of them. There's families of them. There's a tribe of them. There's oodles of them. They're everywhere in our mountains. They're here. I've been hunting them for 10 years, and I've been carrying the weight around by myself with everybody doubting me. And now they're actually believing me because they're seeing and witnessing, being harassed by them, whatever. But they want some answers. They want somebody to help them. We just got to get to the bottom of this. There's a lot of them here. There really are. It's a fact.
Why don't you tell the people, if you would, Wade, tell the people about how the spirit kind of superstitious that if they see these creatures, there's going to be a death, and they want to leave these creatures of the forest and mountains alone, and they don't want to bother with them, and they go the other way. Explain that to my listeners around the globe.
Well, to us black people, we consider this creature a very sacred and holy creature. It has powers, supernatural powers, that are more powerful than we are. We're nothing to it. It can harm us, or it can help us. That much my people know about it. But we do have a lot of honor and respect for this creature. We know it's an animal. We know that it's been here with us forever and ever, from time immemorial. This creature has always been a big part of our history. It's part of our ceremonies. We call it in. It comes. It's there with us. And then we turn it loose, send it free. We turn it loose. We doctor people with this ceremony. We have a lot of respect for this creature. Because there's something to it that is supernatural, but there's something to it that's also alien related. There's also something to it that's spiritual. I don't know how to answer all this stuff because I don't know the answers, but I'm searching. I'm gonna find out. Before I pass on in my lifetime, I'm gonna have all the answers. That's a promise.
Wade, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart of what you've done for us over this last 10 years, especially what you've done for us in this last 5 days that we've been back together. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea. No matter where we go on the res, off the res, the people are stopping us and saying, hey, Tom, I want to tell you my story. I want to share with you because, you know, it takes a long time to bond with people today, especially people from the First Nations, okay? They're kind of secretive people. They're kind of loners, and they stay to themselves. They're strictly their own kind. But because of we've been here and the persistency of back and forth, they know that we're here to help. We're not here to hurt anybody, ladies and gentlemen, not only just here, but anywhere around the globe and here in the United States of America. And why do you think the people call us? Because they know the truth. They know that we're out there to help them because, like my son said it so many times prior, that when things like this happen, okay, one thing happens in return, okay? We are there to help these people, just like the gal in Kentucky, the problems that she's going through. A lot of these organizations talk story. They say they're going to help. They're not going to help. But guess what, okay? We're the ones there, Johnny, on the spot to make it all happen. I want to thank you, TJ, for allowing me to make that announcement here tonight. I hope, yeah, get TJ on now.
Okay. I'm right here.
Oh, you're there? All right. So listen.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dan.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for the hospitality that you arranged for all of us and the crew here. And I'm going to teal it to my son, TJ, and to his son. Three generations, folks. Tom Biscardi, the godfather, Tom Biscardi, the son, and Tom Biscardi, his son, is on this hunt. And well, guess what? It feels like we never left home. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Wow. That was a surprise, wasn't it, folks? Well, you know, we have those on our Bigfoot Live radio. What I want to do now, guys, we got some new team members with us, and we're going to bring them on and introduce them and let them just, you know, tell them what they're doing, what they're experiencing. I think I'm going to start with my son, the third generation, and it's Tommy Biscardi. We're calling him T3 because there's so many Toms out here. So, Tommy, why don't you come and introduce yourself to folks and let them know what you're experiencing and what's going on.
Hello? I'm Tommy, the fourth, and having a lot of fun, seeing a lot of really interesting things out here, a lot of new things for me, my first expedition with my father and my grandfather. So far, it's now, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's been quite the experience so far. I've got to see a couple things that really made me think.
Why don't you tell about those grizzly prints you saw first time ever, huh?
Yeah, first saw a lot of different prints the last couple days. But moose, deer.
And the grizzly bear prints.
Grizzly bear prints. Should that black bear?
No, I was told they were grizzly bear prints by Wade.
Okay.
He says the way they lay in the dirt, the grizzly bear prints, the tracks are so long on their claws that they bend over a little bit, and that's how they were dug into the ground. And that's how Ray Running Crane told us what they were. So you're excited about this, huh, Tommy?
Very excited. Very excited. Like I said, I'm getting to see a lot of new things. I get to learn a lot about the creature. It's been very exciting.
Well, folks, you got to understand, this is his first time on a radio show, so he's kind of choking up too a little bit, but that's okay. It gets easier as you start to learn and understand and talk to people out there. You know, we're going to bring on our next team member. His name is Cello Farini. He's our cousin from out in Missouri. Are you with us, Cello? Oh, folks, I guess not. Marco?
I got two lines that are there's no name on them that's muted. I unmuted them just now. Go ahead and start.
Well, I think he's out. We're going to bring him on here in a minute. So, folks, just to give a recap, we're up here in East Glacier. From here, we're moving off to Pennsylvania. You know what that means? Montana to Pennsylvania. Now, I got to be there Friday or Saturday in Pennsylvania because I promised Kevin and his wife and everybody we're going to come out and we're going to help them solve the problem. But if something were to pop up in between, you got to give us a call. It 506-620-6667. That's the 24-hour Bigfoot hotline. That's where you'll get me or the team on the road 24/7 and let us know what's happening because we could just steer right, steer left, or go forward to get to you guys. Now, from after that, we're moving on to Arkansas. So from between Pennsylvania and Arkansas, from the 25th, 26th, down to about the 30th, if something's going on, give us a call. We'll be in your area. I see Marcello's moving into the studio here, so we're going to bring him on real fast. Cello, go ahead and introduce yourself to the folks and tell them what you're experiencing and what's going on here.
Hey, this is Marcello Carini with Searching for Bigfoot, new to the squad here. Pretty excited to get cracking off this season. Been pretty wild out here on the Blackfeet Reservation. Been exploring far and wide, from plains to mountains to caves, everything. Been snowing pretty hard. Been up to 110 mile per hour winds. Been hearing a lot of stories from a lot of different people, all sorts of stuff, from spiritual encounters to logs being flung across the prairie, all sorts of good stuff. Never really experienced anything quite like it. Pretty excited to move forward into Pennsylvania. Heard there's a lot of crazy things going on out there. Pretty excited to get moving down the road. Thank you.
So pretty much you're having a good time there, Cello?
Yes, sir. Pretty extravaganza, wild time out here.
Well, guys, you got to understand, these are the young bloods of the crew. You know, you got to every now and then you got to rotate through. You know, we've got the Godfather. He's getting up there in his age. That's why I'm here. And then you got me, and then we got this technological group of people that we've had to assimilate into our Bigfoot family, because they're the ones who are going to be handling all our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to pass you right back to Marcello one more time. He's going to give you all our social media presences. You can find us on here because he's got them all. Marcello, why don't you go ahead and give all those to our folks?
All right, gang. For all you Twitter, Instagram junkies, we're going to go ahead and searching for Bigfoot Inc. It's going to be the same on Twitter and Instagram. And then you're going to go on Facebook, and you're going to follow and join the group Searching for Bigfoot U.S. Sightings and Reports.
You're the person that's going to be talking to them on there?
Yes, sir. I will be handling all social media contact. You can post pictures, videos, comments, just direct message, anything you like, and I will get back to you ASAP. I'm on it all day, 24/7.
Awesome. Thank you, Cello. Folks, it was another exciting evening of Bigfoot Live Radio. We're going to cut it a minute or two short this evening, Marco, just so you know. But, folks, make sure you check back next week, because while we're on expedition, we're just going to pass it all along to you guys. Everyone we meet, all the things we see, you'll see it, hear it, and you'll feel it the same way we do. So, this is Calabash, wherever you are, and all you footers, talk to you next week.
Good night, everybody. Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live Radio Show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.